want to thank you for choosing to seek God with us today. I want to remind you there's a place on the webpage to print out the outline that I'm going to go over. And there's also a place for online giving in the lower right-hand corner if the Lord moves you that way. We're meeting at Kalita at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. We're practicing CDC guidelines and like to welcome you to come join with us in live communication and fellowship there. So as we dive into the study of our book of Acts, seeking to understand and experience this life in the Spirit that they had, this message is for July 19th of 2020. I titled it Paul at Antioch in Poseida, and this is the third message from that encounter. Our text is Acts 13, 27 to 36. So my outline ended up, number one, Jesus is the beginning of the New Testament. Number two, Jesus is the beginning of the new life. I believe that history is always going someplace, and all of that is according to God's purpose and plan. I call this God's grand drama being played out. I believe there's always a purpose of God for each one of us in each and every day. Paul will show us this in God's grand drama today in Antioch, Poseida. The chances are we'll never get to stand in front of all the Jews in a major city and tell them about Jesus, like Paul did. But the main point of what Paul is saying is very useful for each of us in our lives today. Point number one, God has a master plan. And number two, God tells people what he's going to do and then he's faithful to do it. So the overarching of all of Paul's message is God's got a plan. Second part is God tells us what he's going to do and then he does it. That's true for us today in 2020. So our scripture text, I'm reading from the New International Reader's Version of Acts 13. And I'm going to do the best I can to read verses 27 to 36 correctly. The people in Jerusalem and the rulers did not recognize Jesus. By finding him guilty, they made the prophet's words come true. These they had read every Sabbath day. The people and their rulers had no reason at all for sentencing Jesus to death. But they asked Pilate to have him killed. They did everything that had been written about Jesus. Then they took him down from the cross, laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. For many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. Now they are his witnesses to our people. We are telling you the good news. What God promised to our people long ago, he has done for us and our children. He has raised up Jesus. This is what was written in the second Psalm. It says, "You are my son, today I have become your father." Psalms 2, verse 7. God raised Jesus from the dead. He will never rot in the grave. This is what is written in Scripture. It says, "Holy and sure blessings are promised to David. I will give them to you." That's from Isaiah 55, 3. In another place it says, "You will not let your Holy One rot away." That's Psalm 16, 10. David carried out God's purpose while he lived. Then he died. He was buried with his people. His body rotted away. The end. These people illustrate that God's plan will be executed as planned. And this is still true in our day. So, Paul in Antioch, Poseida, number three, point number one. Jesus is the beginning of the New Testament. Jesus is the beginning of the New Testament. God's grand drama has a star. His name is Jesus. Jesus is the beginning of all history. John was the last of Jesus' disciples to let the Holy Spirit write the gospel letter through him. He will use the Word in place of Jesus' name. So as we read this, whenever we read the Word, think the name Jesus. So the NIV Reader's Version of John 1, 1 through 4 tells us, "In the beginning, the Word was already there. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him. Nothing that has been made was made without him. Life is in him, and that life was the light for all people." The end. Jesus has always been. Jesus will always be. Jesus was blessed as the one who got to do the hands-on work of God. The Father is always there, as is the Holy Spirit, and they get to do it with Jesus. Today, we can be the one to do the hands-on work of God. The Father is always here, as is His Holy Spirit, and Jesus, they get to do this with us. They get to do this with us. The Holy Spirit and John also wrote the book, The Revelation. Much of this revelation is still being and is yet to be lived out. We are in a part of this plan of God. A on our outline. Jesus arrives. Jesus arrives. Underline the word arrives. Jesus sort of just slips into time as God promised. He's born into a virgin girl. Jesus did everything perfect for 33 years. King David had a prophet. His name was Nathan. Nathan was a brave man. He never backed down from the truth. The Holy Spirit gave Nathan a prophecy for King David. It is recorded in 2 Psalms 7, 4 through 17. David will repen part of this in his Psalms 2 and 16 that we read today. Paul will use them here to build his case for God fulfilling his promise of the prophecy in Jesus. Be on our outline. Jesus is despised. Jesus is despised. Underline the word despised. Jesus knew this was going to happen. Jesus knew his best friends would falter and run. Jesus knows how alone feels. Think about that. Jesus knows how alone feels. See on our outline, Jesus is crucified. Jesus is crucified. Underline the word crucified. Jesus knew this was going to happen. Jesus was there when the devil asked permission to teach these Romans this way of killing a person we call crucifixion. Jesus was there when the Holy Spirit whispered to Isaiah the words of his chapter 53. Paul uses David's Psalms and then sort of an odd quote from Isaiah in his message. "I am not as smart as Paul was. I need to keep it simple." I would encourage you to consider using Psalms 53 as your Old Testament passage to prove God's plan and his prophecy comes true. I want to read to you Isaiah 53, 1 through 12, and I'm going to be reading from the New International Reader's Version. It tells us this: "Who has believed what we've been saying? Who has seen the Lord's saving power? His servant Jesus grew up as a tender young plant. He grew up like a root coming out of dry ground. He didn't have anything of beauty or majesty that made us notice him. There wasn't anything special about the way he looked that drew us to him. Men looked down on him. They didn't accept him. He knew all about sorrow and suffering. He was like someone people turn their faces away from. We looked down on him. We didn't have any respect for him. He suffered the things we should have suffered. He took upon himself the pain we should have been for our own. But we thought God was punishing him. We thought God was wounding him and making him suffer. But the servant was pierced because we had sinned. He was crushed because we had done what was evil. He was punished to make us whole again. His wounds have healed us. All of us are like sheep. We have wandered away from God. All of us have turned to our own way. And the Lord has placed on his servant the sins of all of us. He was beaten down and made to suffer. But he didn't open his mouth. He was led away like a sheep to be killed. Lambs are silent when their wool is being cut off. In the same way, he didn't open his mouth. He was arrested and sentenced to death. Then he was taken away. He was cut off from this life. He was punished for the sins of my people. Who among those who were living at that time could have understood those things? He was given a grave with those who are evil, but his body was buried in the tomb of a rich man. He was killed even though he hadn't harmed anyone, and he had never lied to anyone. The Lord says, it was my plan to crush him and cause him to suffer. I made his life a guilt offering to pay for sin. But he will see all of his children after him. In fact, he will continue to live. My plan will be brought about through him. He suffers. He will see the light that leads to life, and he will be satisfied. My godly servant will make many people godly because of what he will accomplish. He will be punished for their sins. So I will give him a place of honor among those who are great. He will be rewarded just like others who won the battle. That is because he is willing to give his life as a sacrifice. He was counted among those who committed crimes. He took the sins of many people on himself, and he gave his life for those who had done what is wrong. The end. Isaiah writes what reads to me like a play-by-play account of Jesus' life and then his death on the cross. Isaiah penned this 750 years before it happened, yet his account is extraordinarily accurate of what happened to Jesus. God is telling people to look to Jesus for their salvation from sin. What are we telling people? If God is telling people to look to Jesus for their salvation from sin, what are we telling people? The Message translation of Acts 13:26 reads like this. Dear brothers and sisters, children of Abraham, and friends of God, this message of salvation has been precisely targeted to you. The end. It's targeted to you. Jesus is the only provision for one's salvation from sin. Jesus fulfilled all of the prophecies. Jesus fixed the problem of man's sin all the way back to Adam and Abel. This is the truth. In many generations, there are major problems. For my grandpa, Hauk, it was influenza and World War I. For my dad, it was World War II. For me, it was the civil rights and the Vietnam time. In each of those generations, there are people who do the right things and respond to the crisis with courage and truth. What do I do with the time I am given? What do I do with the time I am given? Am I one of these people and generation who will do the right thing and respond to this crisis with courage and truth? Many people are dying in the U.S. from this crisis in this generation. Over 5,000 die today. All of them need salvation, Jesus offered. So just today in the U.S., over 5,000 people will die from the coronavirus. All of them need the salvation that Jesus offers. Point number two on our outline. Jesus is the beginning of the new life. Jesus died but is alive by the power of God. Jesus was the beginning of all life. Jesus created all life. Jesus created mankind to live forever with him. But mankind changed this. When Jesus created Adam and Eve, they were designed to live forever with him. But mankind changed this. A on our outline. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Underline the word alive. Jesus experienced the death mankind chose. Jesus was willing to give his life as a sacrifice. In our day, many will understand substitution better. Sacrifice is not a common visual in our world like it was in Jesus with the sacrifice of the lamb and the bulls and the sheep and the goats. But in our world, substitution would be better. Jesus' death is in substitution for us. After Jesus suffered, he saw the light that leads to life. He was satisfied. God raised him from the dead. Jesus is not just alive. He is what I would call a hybrid human, a new creation human. Other people in the Bible were brought back from death. Jesus brought back a young man to a widow early in his ministry. We read in the Old Testament where Elisha laid on a young man's body three times and he came back to life. Lazarus is famous for this. But all of them then died again. Even though they were brought back to life, they still died. Jesus is different. God's spirit of life defeated the spirit of death. We are born with the spirit of death. God's spirit of life has defeated that spirit of death. The three personalities of God believe they could accomplish this. They believe Jesus' substitutionary death would accomplish this. It's quite easy to say, I believe they could do this. But it's harder to say, I believe they could do this with me. It's easy to say, oh, I believe God could do that. But it's harder to say and believe, I believe the three of them could do this with me, in me. But that is their point. Creating this new life in you, in me, is their end game. B, Jesus appeared. Jesus appeared. Underline the word appeared. For 40 days he has been seen by the people from Jerusalem and Galilee. They are witnesses. The people, the heroes of the book of Acts, saw the new life, acquired this new life, experience this new life. I believe we can too. What these people experienced in the book of Acts, I believe we can experience that too. See on your outline, Jesus was never to be altered. Jesus was never to be altered. Underline the word altered. I got an alliterated outline in the last 3 points. Altered. What do I mean by that A word? I mean Jesus is perfect. Jesus was born into Mary perfect. Jesus lived 33 years perfect. Jesus died for our imperfection and sin perfect. If we believe that Jesus is our Creator, Jesus is our personal Savior, Jesus is our God, He will begin the process of creating us into His image. After we too experience death, He will finish this transformation process. Today is a part of this process. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love of your Father and your love of us. Thank you for allowing yourself to be inserted perfectly into Mary, execute a perfect life, and die as a perfect sacrifice for our sin, just as Isaiah penned. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you, my Savior, for sending your Holy Spirit, not just to be a friend or a comforter, but to be a guide and an intercessor for us. We seek you three this day. With our heart and our love, we turn to you in your grace and ask for an experience of you that will change our lives and in turn have an impact on the culture, the time, the world we live in. Do it for your honor and your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lightning and save my soul. I haven't always lived in freedom. I used to wear the chains of shame and doubt. Inside my heart was like a desert, waiting for your rain to come down. And like a freight.